Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Deuteronomy 15:6, for the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none.
He also went to Deuteronomy. That scored for the good governor, but when you got a $14.3 trillion debt, it's kind of late for that message to have a strong impact.
Believer, non-believer, no differences. We all said. So that's my number one commitment.
The church that survives is the one that proclaims Jesus, not the pastor, not the megastar, not the latest entertainment craze, but that constantly focuses back on the cross.
Moms in Ohio love Issues Etc.
I, for one, am glad that the newer translations, and in this case, the one I think we're going to be working from here, in this hour of Issues Etc. for our Pastor's Roundtable, is the English Standard Version. Corrected what I thought was kind of a cutesy thing other translations used to do with the end of this passage. From now on, you will be fishers of men, and they had been fishermen. Something that really only works in English, and I think it was the subject of so many bad sermons, the impetus for so many bad interpretations of Jesus' call to his first disciples, in particular Simon Peter, that it's good to dispense with it. This translation simply reads, from now on, you will be catching men, which probably has more to do with really what Jesus is calling these men, these disciples, to do. It's our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, the 21st of July. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next hour and the hour that comes after this. The first hour is our Pastor's Roundtable with Pastor Tim Landscraner and Pastor Thomas Messer. After that, in hour two, Colleen Carol Campbell will join us to talk about Michelle Bachmann and the Roman Catholic Church in the media. Then Charles Geeshan joins us today. The church remembers the prophet Ezekiel. We'll be talking about Ezekiel in his proper interpretation and fulfillment in the book of Revelation with Dr. Charles Geeshan. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page for your questions and your comments on Luke chapter 5, Jesus calling his disciples, the first disciples, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. We're giving away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible to the listener with the best question or comment on Jesus' call to his first disciples. Joining us for our Pastor's Roundtable, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Alma, Michigan, joining us on the phone, Pastor Thomas Messer, a regular guest. Tom, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Great to be back.
And here in the studio, Pastor Tim Landscraner is pastor of Epiphany Lutheran Church in St. Louis. Tim, welcome back to you as well.
Thanks, Todd.
Tom, let's start with the end, if we could, because I think often this passage is simply boiled down to, you used to be catching fish, now you're going to be catching men. What is Jesus saying to his disciples in kind of the punchline of this pericope, where he says, from now on, you will be catching men?
Well, the whole pericope, the whole text is about him showing his disciples the miracle by which he will establish his kingdom, his church, through the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments, that they are being called into this apostolic word and sacrament ministry, that they're going to be. You know, it starts, you want to start at the end, but the end goes back to the beginning, because the beginning, Jesus jumps in Simon's boat, in Peter's boat, and he does exactly what he says in the text leading up to this. He must do. He must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns, to everybody, for it was this purpose he was sent. And so the whole text here is Jesus showing these men whom he is calling into the office of the holy ministry exactly how that's going to happen, exactly how he is going to establish his church, and it's going to be through his word.
Here's my problem, Tim, with the whole fishers of men thing, because I think it's been extrapolated by many a lazy preacher to say, because here it says you will be catching men, not fishing for right. them. You'll be catching them. It's one thing to fish. It's another thing to catch,
right.
as Simon Peter finds out here in this text. I think it's been extrapolated by many a lazy preacher to say, well, our task as Christians of the church in general is to come up with the best bait or make the best nets or have the best equipment
right.
for luring people to our into our nets or into our boat.
Yeah. I think that's one of the interesting aspects of this is that as we are talking about the fishing, it's not like what we would call sport fishing, where the idea is all wrapped up in the tackle and the bait and the lures and all that stuff, trying to lure the fish into where we are. But in the way that they fished was they went out where the fish were, when the fish were there, typically at night in the shallows, and they put their best foot forward, doing everything exactly right, and they came up empty. They executed their wisdom, you know, their best experience and expertise, and they came up empty. And now Jesus comes and says, well, go out into the deep where it is not typical to be finding fish, and then do that during the day, and that's not typical. And he says, let down your nets for a catch, implying that you do what I say, and there will be great reward. Peter says, at your word, I'll let down the nets, and there was this great reward of this great catch of fish. Well, then Jesus says, from now on, you will be catching men, doing the same thing that Jesus had just done, which was preaching the word, preaching the kingdom of God. And so while he had caught those people from the shore, he had now caught Peter and James and John and whoever else was then following him, and he is then giving this responsibility to them and showing them and giving them the promise that there will be success, whatever that success might be.
Pastor Messer, this is perhaps early in Jesus' ministry, a time when he is still, according to Luke's gospel, experiencing a lot of numerical success. It says in the first verse there, Luke chapter 5, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. That sounds like things are going well. He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. We see Jesus doing this several times in the Gospels, don't we?
Absolutely. This is, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, this is what he says he has come into the world to do, preach the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God to everyone. It's for this purpose he was sent. And of course, the content of that good news is that he has come in our flesh, incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, made man, to live the perfect life we can't live and to fulfill God's holy law perfectly and completely in our place and to pay the price for all of our sins. And the good news about what he has come to accomplish for us and for our salvation is the content of the word that he begins preaching and that he will commission his disciples that would be sent out in his name would become his apostles to preach. For it is by the preaching of his word, it is as the word goes out that people are caught into his church. So and people right now, we often it's a dangerous thing for us when we get one of these texts that have a miraculous event occurring in them, like you put out your nets in the middle of the day when you're not supposed to catch any fish, and two nets are so full they begin to burst and the boats begin to sink. It's dangerous for us when we confront these texts because we want to hone in on that miracle, but really the more important miracle here that Jesus is conveying to us in this text is how people are caught into his kingdom and that's through the word he comes to preach.
Does it promise in any way, coming back to something you said before, Tim, does it promise in any way remarkable numerical success, the way that the church nowadays so commonly measures success? People in the pews or money in the plate or something like that?
Not as it is often said and used. Jesus, remember, Jesus is talking specifically to Peter, to Simon Peter, when he says this, let down your nets for the catch. Certainly, in the life and ministry of Peter, along with James and John and Andrew and the other disciples, the apostles, they did experience phenomenal numerical growth in the church. And they did it by using the word, which was not only that word spoken, but it was Christ. Not only a word about Christ, but the word of Christ. And that was then, but yet that net, as that gospel net goes out today, still miraculously catches large numbers of people. But not in the way that, it's not always so visible to us. For example, the gospel net has been cast far and wide in some place like Africa. And Africa has a huge growing Christian population because that gospel has been going out. And as those fishermen, as those missionaries throw out that net of the gospel, those people are being caught up. And yet it continues to happen right here at home too.
We're talking about Jesus' call to his first disciples, a miraculous catch of fish, and there's so much more in this text to get to with our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, July the 21st. Pastor Tim Landscraner, Pastor Thomas Messer are our guests. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or leave a question or a comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues Etc. regular guests Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the Premier Worship Conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30. Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues, Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc., our pastor's roundtable studying Luke chapter 5, the first 11 verses. A very familiar story. You've probably heard it 1,000 times, preached on dozens of times.
Jesus calling his first disciples through a great catch of fish, and Simon Peter is kind of in the spotlight for this one. We'll get into that in a few minutes. We were talking during the break here, Pastor Messer, so you weren't privy to this, but I'm curious if you agree that a lot of times, at least in my memory, this has been told in Sunday school or preached from the pulpit, leaving out the first few verses, therefore making no connection whatsoever between Jesus catching men and what will happen with the disciples at his call.
Yeah, I've heard that too, and I mean that's tragic. I mean, because what Jesus does at the beginning of this pericope is what he's going to show Peter and the other disciples, what he's going to have them do, or what he's going to continue to do through them. I mean, it's to leave that out is rather tragic, because it sets the stage and keeps us mounted in the foundation of Christ, who is the one who has come into the world to preach the good news, and is going to be calling these men to be his ambassadors. But they're going to be doing what he does. You know, they're not going to be doing their own thing. They're going to be doing what he does. And you know, before the break, when you asked the question about the earthly success, will we see this success? You know, that's our problem. We want instant results. We want to preach the gospel. We want everybody that hears it to show us that they have been caught into the net and they're part of the church now. But it doesn't work that way. We don't see it, but we do. Whenever we think in those terms that we want to see, we desire to see the instant results and numerical success, what we should be reminded of is that the Lord has promised that he will call into his kingdom, his eternal kingdom, everyone he has elected to that kingdom. He will not fail. He will not miss one single person. And that you know, we should recall what St. John sees in Revelation 7, a great multitude that no one can number. You know, it's not something that we can see.
And God's word does not return void. It accomplishes the reason he sent it.
Absolutely right.
He sends out the law to convict us, and he sends out the gospel to snatch us from despair and from sin and from death, so that we truly are caught up in the net of the gospel, so that we are caught up into his church.
Okay, but nowadays, what you guys have been saying here, just very subtly but very definitely, flies in the face of the best and brightest ideas that the church has been offered for how to have success in evangelism. For the better part of a decade, kind of deeply infected our own church body, Pastor Messer, where we actually had at our the website for our denomination, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, a counter.
Right.
A ticker or a counter that was counting, interestingly enough, not people who believed, because, I mean, even the people who devised this plan knew that that was impossible. Only God sees the heart. But it was counting, I don't know, what was it called? Critical events, gospel contact. Yeah, something like that. But it kind of became the source of a lot of running jokes. But it seemed to have bought into that mentality that the church's success is simply a matter of being able to quantify the right kind of circumstance and then put a mark on a tally sheet.
You know, that's why maybe we should just put this text before all of our pastors every day and have them study it every day, because this text flies in the face of you know, this modern-day, Americanized, Arminianized idea of evangelism built upon the church growth principles. You know, what comes screaming through at you in this text is that you know, the constant theme, the constant refrain we see throughout Scripture, that God's ways and his thoughts are not our ways and thoughts. You know, I mean, it is crazy. Jesus' evangelism program here, his way of catching people into his kingdom, is just insane. It's absurd. It makes no sense to our sinful human reason. He has them go out in the middle of the day and cast the nets down. Nobody's going to catch any fish that way. You know, and I love the epistle that goes with this in the historical, or the one-year lectionary from 1 Corinthians. It's the epistle, it's 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 25, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. You know, the means by which Christ catches people into his kingdom seem insane to us. And so, you know, in our sinful nature, we want to participate, and we want to come up with other ways and want to help God out as if he can't handle this on his own. So this text it really does fly in the face of all of that stuff.
Well, and the other thing it does, Peter is supposed to go out. He knows from his experience that there's no fish.
Right.
Jesus says, go out there and do it, and you'll there'll be a catch. He does it, and there's a catch. But in our world, we don't think about fishing in those terms, in fishing with a net. We think of putting out our line with the best bait, using our best sonar, radar, fish finder equipment to find the best thing, have the best tackle, the best bait, the best lures, and you go out and you're trying to attract the fish to you, and you spend all this time and energy doing things that you think is best, and Peter is told, or Simon's told, just go out and do this, and there will be good results.
Well, and I think that the fact that they toiled all night and caught and took nothing, I think that's an important part of this text too. That, you know, we're being taught here that that we can't do what Jesus is going to have these men do, what he's calling and ordaining them to do. You know, he's establishing the apostolic word and sacrament ministry of the church, the silly ways, according to our human reason, that he's going to bring people in through words preached and spoken by sinful men, and words combined with simple water and bread and wine. These are the greater miracles, of course, we know that, but according to our sinful human reason and you know, from the world's perspective, it's just silliness, crazy talk.
Well, from the church's perspective too, Pastor Messer, and I'm sure that there may be those listening now who say, but you can't argue with numbers. I mean, look at the church down the street. They have a perfect location. They've got a big building, and it's full every Sunday. And they have apparently found a better mousetrap. They've apparently found a way to improve upon what all the churches who are still simply doing what you guys are talking about, preaching the word faithfully, the same word that Christ preached and he commanded his disciples to preach. But these guys are apparently found a better way to do it.
Yeah, but the proof's in the pudding, Todd.
What do you mean?
I mean, you know, I've, a little bit of my history. I come from a church growth congregation that went full blown church growth and got rid of the liturgy and the hymnals and, you know, the basic way of congregations leaving behind traditional Lutheranism. I you know, was reared in that, and you know, anybody can attract people into a quote unquote church. We can do what the local evangelical wannabe mega church down the road does from us. We can advertise that we're going to give out new TVs to the 700th guest this weekend. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can get people in. You can give people ice cream or, you know, whatever. But the proof's in the pudding. What I mean by that is, are disciples being made? You know, disciples are only made through the pure preaching of the gospel and the right administration of the sacraments. You know, that's... And I know this because I still talk to people. I have friends and family that belong to some of these congregations that, you know, the pure gospel is not being preached. The sacraments are not being administered according to Christ's institution. And you can tell by what they confess and what they claim to believe about Christianity that they're, you know, they're not being discipled. You know, so is it growth? There's a difference between true Christian growth and numerical growth.
Well, and wasn't there something just in the last couple of years, what, I can't remember if it was Saddleback or somebody who said that they have found out that they have been a failure at making disciples?
Willow Creek.
Or Willow Creek, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, they surveyed them their people in a survey, I think they called it Resolve, and came to the conclusion that if you stayed there 3 years, you pretty much heard everything they had to say, followed all their programs, and these people were not only leaving the church, but they were leaving because they realized it was a mile wide and an inch deep. And the more remarkable thing there, Pastor Landscraner, is that the response of the leadership of Willow Creek was, well, if you want to be fed more, go feed yourself.
Right.
So, well, when we come back from this break, we're going to talk more about Jesus calling his first disciples. There is an interesting response from Simon Peter. After the fish have been brought into both the boats are nearly sinking, the nets have nearly torn, then Peter's response to Jesus seems kind of incongruous to us. He must realize something about this and this man, Jesus, that may not be apparent to the naked eye. He says to him, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And Luke tells us they were all afraid, maybe even afraid of Jesus. It's our pastor's roundtable on this July 21st. It's Thursday afternoon. Pastor Tim Landscraner is pastor of Epiphany Lutheran Church in St. Louis, and Pastor Thomas Messer is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Alma, Michigan.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The noose is tightening around the neck of Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest chain of abortion mills. A pro-life group called Americans United for Life has issued a report which includes devastating evidence against this abortion industry giant. They combed through 20 years of Planned Parenthood financial data. What they uncovered should shock Congress, which gives hundreds of millions of dollars to them every year. Alleged abuses include misuses of federal funds, failure to report criminal child sexual abuse, failure to comply with state laws, and misuse of the dangerous chemical abortion drug RU-46. Minimally, Congress should end all their tax funding. If you'd like the full details of this amazing report, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Calling you,
calling you,
calling you,
calling you.
Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. By the way, we are giving away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible to the listener with the best question or comment on Jesus calling his first disciples, Luke chapter 5, the first 11 verses, our pastor's round table. That's our discussion, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio. We get them here in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or leave that question or comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. The Lutheran Study Bible is a resource that is, I would say, a step above the typical study Bible, not only for the quality of its scholarship, that is certainly important, but for the content, the direction of its approach to Scripture itself. It's even more fundamental than how good is the scholarship, how smart are the people writing the notes. It is, What does this study Bible think the Bible is about? A lot of times you get a study Bible, and you can get a student study Bible, you can get a mother study Bible, you can get a businessman study Bible, as though the Bible were about a bunch of different things or whatever you want it to be. But the Lutheran study Bible is different. It is about Christ at the center in his saving work, every page, Old and New Testament. Find out more about the Lutheran study Bible. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can call and order the Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Derek in Seward, Nebraska asks this, could you surmise what exactly Jesus' public reputation is before this? He says, I get the thought from a previous chapter that he is thought of as a teacher or healer. And what exactly Peter knows about Jesus, it kind of goes to Peter's response here. Would he be acquainted with the prophecies regarding his birth, namely Luke 1 and 2? Do we have any way of determining, Pastor Lance Craner, how Peter regarded Jesus before this event?
Well, certainly shortly before this event, you had Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law. Back in chapter 4, it says, and he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. And so Simon certainly would have known that his mother-in-law had been healed of this fever. I think there are those who say that there was a prior call to the disciples before this event, but that it is that now at this point that he actually then calls them and they leave all and follow him. But certainly Simon would have known that Jesus was a great healer.
So we can at least surmise that. How are we to take Simon's response? I mean, we're not given any indication of his response to the healing of his mother-in-law, but here his response is just flat on his face, Pastor Messer, go away from me. I am a sinful man, he says.
Yeah, you know, like the demons in the chapter that precedes this one, you know, Simon recognizes that this is the Holy One of God. You know, he recognizes that he's in the presence of God Himself, and knows that he is a sinner, and you know is this is the response of all sinners. We see this throughout Scripture from many of the saints. You know, when a sinner is in the presence of our holy God, our natural response is to get away from me. I'm doomed. You know, depart from me. So I also want to just to say about the previous question, we also shouldn't forget what we were talking about a little earlier, that Jesus just got done preaching a sermon here, you know, before he takes Peter out and the other disciples and casts the net. He's just preached the gospel of the kingdom to them. So that certainly, you know, Peter had an idea Peter probably had the same idea that a lot of people had. There's something special about this guy, something unique. But you know, that word that Jesus preached, I think this is the way Luther takes it, creates faith in Peter so that he says, at your word, we'll drop the net. Now, that doesn't mean he fully understands who Jesus is, but he gets a glimpse of who Jesus really is when the nets are bursting and the boats are sinking, and he realizes he's in big trouble. He's a sinner.
Well, but I think that there's a hint that Peter comes to a different realization of who Jesus is, because at first he says, Master, we've toiled all night. He calls him Master. He says, nevertheless, at your word we'll let down the nets.
Right, right.
After they get to catch a fish, now it's, Lord, depart from me.
Right.
It's like, oh, no.
And there's this acute awareness of his, you mentioned this, Tom, of his sinful condition. Is it safe to say that he now sees Jesus in some sense in a divine light?
I think so. I think he's realizing that this is not just some, you know, magician or miracle worker or a faith healer. This has the feeling that I'm dealing with God here. You know, I mean, this is I do think that he gets a glimpse of Jesus' divinity here, and realizes that he's in the presence of his holy God. Now, you know, of course, it doesn't mean that he realizes everything that means yet, but I think definitely he gets a glimpse of the divinity here.
I don't know that he necessarily catches that Jesus is divine, but he certainly has a connection to the divine.
It could be. Could very
I
well
mean,
be. Absolutely.
You can't split it too finely, but certainly he says, I mean, he realized that Jesus' word had been fulfilled.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that too, whatever the case, when this man speaks his word, it happens. You know, and that harkens back to the Creator. You know, and let there be light, and there is light. God's word accomplishes what it says it will accomplish. It does what it says, and so yeah, you know. But who knows what's going through Peter's mind? All he knows is he's somehow in the presence of God here, and he doesn't like it because he's a sinner.
He
feels like he's doomed.
I mean, and the fact of the matter is, Peter's a tough one to psychologize, regardless, because he's a little bit of a seesawing up and down when it comes to his regard for Jesus. I mean, he gets him right, and then he gets him wrong, and then he gets him right.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about the contrast between we have labored all night and caught nothing, and Jesus saying, just go out there, let down the nets. He doesn't even say, go back to work. He just says, go out, let down your nets for a catch. What's the contrast we should note there between the toil and what Jesus would have Simon Peter to do that results in this great catch of fish? Pastor Lance Craner.
Well, certainly they have been exercising their vocation, doing what they knew how to do, exercising their experience or expertise, and they came up empty. And face it, in life, you know, you can work hard, do all the right things, and come up empty. And Jesus wanted them to realize that when they would be going out to catch men, that they would use his tools, his techniques, in his way, at his word, and that would be that which would grant success. And when he says, go out and, you know, let your nets down in the deep, it's like it goes against everything these guys would have known. You know, it just didn't make any sense. It's the wrong time of day. It's the wrong part of the water. It just goes contrary to logic and reason.
And I think, just piggybacking on that, I think the contrast is seen in the fact that we can do nothing to accomplish. We can do nothing to bring about the kingdom of God. We can do nothing to catch men into that kingdom. It's all the Lord's work. You know, Luther, he goes nuts on this whole thing about how this is about our works. And, you know, the contrast is between accomplishing the salvation of our own salvation or the salvation of others through works or through faith and trust in Christ's word, you know. And it's only through faith in Christ's word, because it's only through that word that anything is accomplished in his kingdom, that these things happen. So
there's a peculiar word here, and it's almost impossible to think it's just a coincidence. Pastor Lance Craner, you mentioned it to me off the air when Jesus says, from now on you will be catching men. It's not just, the English doesn't exactly, even at that good attempt, capture the full force of this. What's going on in Luke's way of telling this story?
Well,
and we've only got about a minute before our break.
Okay. At the end of verse 10, it says that you will be catching men alive. It's not just catching men, but you're catching them alive, which is now going to be in contrast to their fishing for fish, because when you fish for fish, it's to take them out of water so they die and so you can eat them. in this case, they are going to catch men alive. They're going to draw them out of the water, out of the deep, which is Dr. Just says was always a symbol of chaos. You can draw them out of the deep, out of the water, and bring them into the safety of the ship.
Well, when we come back, we'll have 10 more minutes with our pastor's round table. Pastor Tim Lanzcraner, Pastor Thomas Messer, I'm Todd Wilkin.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
How many Bible studies have companion Issues Etc. audio?
Dr. Ken Sherb on our Book of the Month for July, The Christian's Mission.
The Christian's Mission takes you in 9 sessions through an overview of your mission as a Christian centering in the grace of God in Christ. A great alternative to a lot of quote-unquote missional thinking out there.
Order The Christian's Mission by calling 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Christian's Mission.
Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. I don't often say this, but these pastors' roundtables are perhaps one of my favorite hours during the week of Issues Etc. for several reasons. I really value the opportunity to spend time in the Word of God, even if it's in the course of doing my job on the radio, but also because when we've got great guests like Pastor Messer and Pastor Lanzcraner, I can just sit back and let them basically run the show, which is pretty nice. It's not exactly like having the afternoon off, but it practically is. I get to sit kind of in the listener's position for a little bit, and it's a great pleasure to do so for another 10 minutes with our guests on our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon. This is a question from Eric in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. He says, I think the motivation of the men to follow the Christ was some sort of earthly reign. But Jesus corrects that idea later in Matthew 19, verse 29, when he says, you will receive 100-fold and even inherit eternal life for following me. So I guess it is accurate to say that we should leave everything behind for Jesus, but how is that lived out in the life of the believer? He's making reference, of course, Pastor Messer, to they left everything and followed him.
Yeah, you know, the short and sweet answer to that is by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, what does it mean to leave everything behind and follow Jesus? You know, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. It's through the means of grace that Jesus is illustrating for us in this miraculous catch here in this text, the way that his kingdom, his church, will be established through the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments. It's as he catches us into the net, or catches us into the boat of his church through the net of his gospel, we, like Peter, are repentant And he is there to absolve us, as he does with Peter here. And so through that ongoing ministry of our Lord, through the means he creates and the apostolic ministry he ordains to distribute these means to people, we do leave everything behind. We leave all pretensions, all of our works, all of our abilities to do anything for our salvation behind. And through that, the power of the Holy Spirit, we trust solely in Jesus Christ for our salvation.
Well, and not only for our salvation, but also for success in our daily lives, in our vocations. Any success we realize is God's gift to us. And I think we need to be careful, too, and keep in mind that as Jesus tells Peter, and then also associated with him, James and John, that they are specifically being called to be his disciples and to be apostles. They are the ones leaving everything behind. It doesn't say that everybody is supposed to leave everything behind. It doesn't say that you know, all Christians are to leave everything behind and follow Jesus. For these guys, they certainly did that. In a way, they also then were acting like Elisha. When Elijah came by, threw his mantle over his shoulders, which is the Old Testament reading for the day, and Elisha says, let me go back to say goodbye to my parents, and then he kills the oxen that he's been plowing with, and then he takes the yoke, the wooden yoke, and he uses that as the firewood. He burns the yoke. He basically is now burning his bridges behind him, and then he is going to go and follow Elijah. And Elisha then will become the primary prophet. And so these apostles are going to step in after Jesus is gone. And they're going to continue on that same ministry, that same preaching, the proclamation of Christ, of his word, about him, and all that means for people.
I'm constantly fascinated, Tom, at the levels at which the Bible has things to say. I mean, it says things at kind of a grammatical level. It says things at a greater level, how it juxtaposes certain things, how it even tells the story. It's remarkable, just incredible. And this one, I wonder, here in this last verse of the reading that we're working with, they left everything and followed him. Is this Luke's way of saying, without saying it in so many words, Jesus had just caught himself, these men?
I think so. I think that's an excellent, excellent point. He had, you know, he just caught them, and will be using them in his ongoing ministry. You know, I think that's a great. Pastor Lance Grainer makes a great point that we need to in this text look at this and say, these men, you know, these men who are being called into the apostolic ministry, will be Jesus sent out ones to preach his gospel and administer his sacraments, are being the ones called to leave everything behind and follow Jesus. But, you know, Jesus makes some of these, makes statements similar to this about all his disciples. You know, he's, if anyone is going to be my disciple, he must give up everything and follow me. So there's a sense in which, you know, this is required of every single Christian. But the good news is that what is required of us is supplied for us by the same one who requires it of us. You know, we have left everything behind and follow him because he left everything behind, and you know, he descended into the depths of our depravity and hell and paid the price and made us, caught us, just like you said, Todd, caught us into his kingdom. He's done the work.
Well, I mean, they could no more take credit for leaving everything behind than the fish could take credit for being in the boat.
Right.
Absolutely.
At this point.
Absolutely.
I mean, the fish didn't hop in the boat. They were caught up and pulled out and
right.
put in the boat.
And I think Luther says something about that, too, is, you know, God or Jesus used their vocation kind of in a sense to catch them, but to do what they did. He didn't say, you know, just fish hop in the boat. He says, you'd have these guys let down their nets. And he directs the fish into the nets, and there you go.
One more question here, and this comes from Stan in Freistadt, Missouri. He says, was Simon the only disciple who the Holy Spirit allowed to recognize Jesus as God? Tom, about a minute to respond.
Well, No. What we see here, I think Dr. Just, I was reading his commentary earlier today too. We didn't really talk about this much during this hour, but you know, Peter becomes the spokesman or the foremost of the apostles, and we see that throughout all the Gospels. You know, he's the one who later on in Matthew 16 makes the great confession: "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God." But he makes that confession on behalf of all the disciples. At this point, you know, we don't know how they're viewing Jesus yet. They're learning. They just started seminary. It just started.
Then finally, Tim, we've seen here quite clearly that the efforts of the church, or if the church gets it into her head that somehow she has to do the catching, is going to run completely counter here to what Jesus is showing his disciples. Summarize it all for us. Who catches men alive for the kingdom of God?
Christ does. Or, if you want to say, the Holy Spirit does. But it's all done through the Word. At the Word of Christ, whether that you're thinking of that Word as about Christ or that Word that is indeed Christ, you know, that Word in the flesh, Christ himself is the one who does the catching. He uses his pastors as his instruments in the proclamation of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments. And yes, he does use laity as well to invite their neighbors into the net with them. And sometimes that will happen and sometimes it won't. But the net itself is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, his life, death, resurrection for us. That is what will bring us into the boat of the church.
Well, the winner of the Lutheran Study Bible for this Thursday's Pastor's Roundtable is Stan in Freistadt, Missouri. Stan, if you would send us your name and your mailing address, we will mail out to you a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible. Thanks to everybody with questions or comments during our Pastor's Roundtable. Pastor Tim Landscraner is pastor of Epiphany Lutheran Church in St. Louis. Tim, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Pastor Thomas Messer is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Alma, Michigan. Tom, it's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Hey, great to be with you, Todd. Thanks a lot.
In the second hour of the program, we're going to spend some time with Colleen Carroll Campbell to begin with. Michelle Bachmann has been in the news because of her former Lutheran associations, and of course the media has oddly come to the defense of the Roman Catholic Church. You don't see that happen very often. We'll see whether or not this is the media turning over a new leaf with Colleen Carroll Campbell. In the first part of that second hour, then, Dr. Charles Geeshan will join us for the remainder of the hour. The church is remembering on this day the Old Testament prophet, seer Ezekiel. What's the right way to read Ezekiel's visions? We'll talk about the relationship between Ezekiel and the New Testament book of Revelation and the New Testament fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecies with Dr. Charles Geeshan of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. It's Christ who catches men alive, and he uses his disciples to do it. His disciples have but one thing. He leaves them with his word, the same word by which he caught them. This powerful, well, Luke calls it at the beginning, the Word of God. Whether it is catching fish, let down your nets, or catching men, preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in my name to all nations, it is the Word of Christ. Therefore, Christ himself, who is the great catcher of men. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.